Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
That was lousy. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Great. Thanks for coming. I got to go. No. So this is one of those cool sessions, you know, because usually they'll say things, you know, don't check your email and don't turn your phone off. No. This is about technology, but even more so, it's about social networking. Quick show of hands. How many people have never Twittered? Wow. Cool. I got my marching orders for the day. Okay, let's go here. How many people don't have a Facebook account? About half the room. How many people don't have a LinkedIn account? Cool. We're going to focus on those three tools primarily today. The idea is this. We got to make it accessible so you know what's going on with all these tools. And in fact, how we're going to start is what you see in your screen and what you see up here, which is actually what's called a back-channel conversation. And we'll define what that is. This is the dialogue that's going on right now about the conference. Some of the people I can guarantee you in this room are adding to that conversation as we speak. It was going on during the opening session. It was going on before the event started. And as planners, hoteliers, suppliers in this industry, what you got to be aware of is the communication game and the tools have changed. And they've changed drastically over the past few years. So we have a game plan for the next 75 minutes that's really a game plan of making you more comfortable. You will hear a couple of annoying beeps up there because in this session I'm keeping that application on since it's going to be something I want to show you in a bit. But what we want to accomplish is pretty clear. We want to talk about the social networking tools that are being used by your peers and colleagues and get you comfortable with them. We want to understand how they're being used in the industry too, because it's great that Twitter's out there and Facebook's out there, but can it make me more productive? Can it get me more business? How is that actually different from other ways that I'm doing marketing and communication work in my business? And because Twitter's gotten all the buzz, we're going to spend a little bit of time, as we will with LinkedIn and Facebook, to talk about how to create the account. Now, we don't have enough computers for everybody here, but here's the deal. And I know people are sharing. We have a lab on Tuesday. Technically, it's going to be in the book from 1:45 to 4:45, but let's say anytime after noon on Tuesday, you want to come in here and play more or take time to set up an account, do so. I'll be in here all afternoon. We're also going to have a podcasting lab at the same time, so there'll be a lot of different conversations going on. But this is going to be open for the express purpose of helping you out to really just follow up on the stuff you're learning today and at some of the other sessions. First up, let's get the lingo down. Part of the frustration that the generations have right now is they're not speaking the same language. When I was a kid, it was easy. There was a generation gap. And it was about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I voted yes, mom voted no, we argued, you know. It ain't that simple anymore. It's about haves and have-nots. It's about understanding the tools and not. I always kid people who are of a certain age that your kids are your home IT department. And they mess up your computers the same way that they do at work. They also fix them, and they also don't effectively communicate. Because they almost have an intuitive feel to it, and I really hate using the word intuitive, but they've grown up with the technology. It's amazing. In an undergraduate class I teach, they turn to me, they go, no, I don't know the technology. My younger brother and sister really knows the technology. So that generation gap keeps getting wider and wider and wider, which is why you're here, which is why we're talking about this and trying to break this gap down. Web 2.0. That term was coined about 5 years ago to identify any website or any web service that is interactive in nature. Blogs, podcasts, clearly Facebook, all the social media fall into this category. And it's a complete different game because now websites are about interactivity. If you go to your company, your own website, and there's no way for someone to communicate or to interact, you might want to rethink that strategy. Ignore that. So, Web 2.0, important to know about. Social networking, you really don't need to define it. It's why you're here, although we'll spend a little bit of time in a few minutes with a little bit of history of it. I mean, clearly social networking is not just about the technology. It's been around for eons, but it's really changed the game over the past 10 years. Now, let's talk tagging and social bookmarking. If you've gotten to the Pathable site, and how many people did log on to Pathable? Cool. And is Jordan here, by the way? Oh, great. I would give you, if you want, a minute or two to talk about Pathable. I know a lot of people in here have interest. Why don't you come on for a second? Because what's really important to understand is that MPI embraced and integrated an opportunity for this conversation to take place before the event. Shelley is with Jordan with Pathable, and what they've done is created this. Well, I'll let you take it and tell them all about it.
All right, Pathable in 1 minute or less. The basic idea behind Pathable is to create social networks specific to the event. So it's thinking about helping you optimize who you're going to meet while you're here, but giving you the tools to actually post your own profile, but also search for other profiles and get recommendations based on your profiles about who you might want to meet. So social tagging, which he mentioned, that's the metaphor that we use to help you when you create your profile and do our matching, which is basically you create keywords or tags that describe you and that other people describe themselves, and then you can use those to find each other, but then also have conversations.
So it's about connectivity. Thanks, Shelley. Appreciate it. Definitely check out what they've done. Now, the Pathable site that you see here has conversations that are going on, feeds from your blogs, from different areas. Great, great opportunity to sort of customize your experience at the event. So back to social bookmarking and tagging. I could enter a tag. For example, I want to communicate with everyone who's on LinkedIn, and that way send a message out there. Now, tagging is a concept that's at the core of Web 2.0. And I want to actually show you a non-MPI meeting site that defines tagging and social bookmarking probably as good as anyone. One of the top 20 sites in popularity in the United States, I believe it's actually a top 10 site now, it's called Delicious. How many people have been there before? All my tweeters have been there. Great. Delicious is a social bookmarking site. Here's the gig. You go to Amazon.com, and all of a sudden it says, people who read the last Stephen King book also enjoyed, and gives you a recommendation, right? So, in this case, this is a bookmarking service. So I find a really cool website I like. For example, one we might even talk about later, StockTwits, yes, legit site using Twitter to follow the financial market. Starting to weave all this in together because this is Web 2.0, highly interactive. And I think it's cool, and I want to bookmark it. I want to let people know about it. I want to remember to go back to it because I don't have time right now to read it. So in comes my Delicious account. See, what I'm going to do is with a little button right here is post this site to my account so I can save it. I save it essentially as a bookmark. I tag it. I give it keywords. Critical in all of these Web 2.0 approaches because these tags right here is what's going to help people find the topics. So once I save it, and I could have tagged it more, but for expedience, I won't. And then I go back to my Delicious page and do a quick refresh. There it is. Now, great. I can go back to it anytime and then read it. That's cool. But social bookmarking. What's really awesome is that, 331 people have also tagged it. And I can not only find out who they are, but see what they've tagged. Why? Because, they must have similar interests to me. I might be able to learn a lot more from some of the cool stuff they've tagged. So we see who the people are. Hi, Joyce. We see information, and we can just further on down the web by using the social bookmarking and tagging approach to be able to not only keep information for me to read, but to share it with the community and to allow other people to have access to it. That access point, by the way, is one of those hot buttons in this conversation because it's generationally charged. Some people say, shoot, I don't want everyone to know my every ongoing deed and what I'm doing. And some folks say, well, sure, I'm at the Starbucks for a latte. Come on down. So how we use the tools clearly is going to be as much generationally charged as it is anything else. But from a terminology standpoint, tagging, social bookmarking, essential to understanding the concepts that we're talking about here. Yeah, go for it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, do a few things. I do that because I want, if I can now search everything I've tagged with Twitter, I can come up with a list. So let me go back here for a sec. So I get here, and here are all the tags. So I can go down and see my Twitter tag and click it, and now here's all the Twitter stuff that I've tagged. So get both. Tag it so I can follow up and find it on my own later, and so I can share with other people who might be interested in it. You know, if you were talking about social bookmarking and tagging, you're interested. And by the way, as we're talking about this stuff, you've got a computer in front of you, so definitely check it out. The site Dig is just another really important one to know about, because that's social bookmarking as it relates to news, and really has been a huge driver in changing how news is delivered these days. Just two tools, D-I-G-G, because people vote on site popularity. They, shall we say, dig it. And that's the hook they use on that. Dig, Delicious, really spearhead in a lot of people's minds a lot of what all these Web 2.0 tools have integrated. Backchannel. You'll hear this term a lot. All it means is the conversation that's taking place sort of behind the scenes. In this case, the conversation taking place on your screen with Meet Different. So we have the meeting going on, and then we have the back channel conversation. How many planners in the room? Okay. Imagine having this set up at your event so that people can have an ongoing dialogue, not only during the event, but before and after. And, of course, monitoring that so you can see what's going on. You can address issues, or you can just be aware of criticisms as well as successes that you've had at the event. It's an amazing tool to be able to foster that communication. Creating those back channels in Twitter is very, very simple, and we'll get to that before we finish up today. By the way, just a reminder, any question at any point that you have, please do feel free to ask it. There are no dumb questions, okay? This is a room that has to be completely safe space for you to answer anything. Go for it. That will depend on whom you ask. I mean, since you asked me, I will say it's a pick and choose. Matter of fact, you actually hit a real, real hot button of mine when you said Plaxo. That's a service I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Because I've read a lot of things in the end user license agreement that says if they sell the company, all the information they've generated gets sold with it. And if you start reading the blogs about that, and I know there's a huge, huge dissension about Plaxo that's out there, you're going to see a lot of people very wary about the service and a lot of people completely accommodating and accepting of it. Personally, if you send me a Plaxo request, I don't answer it. So I do pick and choose. But in this case, with the three we're talking about, I don't think you have much choice of picking and choosing because they all have value in different ways. But there are like 46 different Twitter-type sites called, by the way, microblogs, just so we're clear on terminology. And there's tons of other social networking sites that are out there. And you can't use them all. And you shouldn't feel obligated to either. So we're actually playing with the top ones that are out there right now. When we're talking about Twitter, Twitter is a microblog. Yeah, essentially, you're limited to only a certain number of characters that you can put on the Twitter account. So, six terms. Web 2.0 defines for us the fact that these sites need to be and are interactive. Social networking, hence why we're here. Tagging and social bookmarking. The tagging allows us to identify key terms to pages, sites, information. Social bookmarking gives us the opportunity to share the information we have saved with others, hence the whole concept of Web 2.0. Back channel, secondary conversations taking place, especially using tools such as Twitter. And microblogs, a short blog, hence Twitter. Matter of fact, if you've never Twittered but you Facebooked, all Twitter is, you'll see, is the Facebook status update. Seems like a one-trick pony, but it is a lot more in-depth than that. Well, in a lot of cases, you get to create the tags. Matter of fact, if I'm on Delicious, if I start typing something, it'll tell me what people have tagged it with and what I've used, but I can always create my own. You want to use something that people are using that's out there already, because that's going to make it easier for other people to find that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. No rule, as I've seen in different services do it different ways. I know with Delicious, the minute you put a space there, it assumes it's another tag. So they'll either crunch it together or use the underscore to blend it as a single approach. And oftentimes I'll see on web 2.0, web underscore 2.0, so it can get a little odd at points. Question of the day. Why? Why are you here? Why are we talking about it? And I'm going to open this conversation up. Who in this room thinks that these tools are cute and nice, but they really don't have a lot of bearing on what I need to do every day? Okay, couple of hands, cool. Anyone want to share a thought about that?
Best practices easy enough to find. If you're looking for a good way to do something, mm-hmm. It might be a good way to find it.
Okay, but why wouldn't this be these tools be a reasonable approach? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ways to interconnect, and the MySpace and Facebook were more social, personal, and now the Line seems all...
Line's got blurry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's hard, like with Facebook it seems people were doing more fun photos and being more free, and then all of a sudden now you have business trying to get your attention.
So you're struggling with the which one still. You know, there's too much out there. I got to choose one or two of these, and I don't know which way to go. Reasonable approach. What all? Yeah. The distraction is what comes up for a lot of folks. Mike.
Well, I've done a LinkedIn where I have, you know, a couple of names in my account. I'm not done much with it, and then all of a sudden I got an email from someone saying I'm doing a show in Tucson and I need to get some equipment and give me a bid. I mean, out of the blue, and I was like, okay, that's great. I did not. So it's, you know, one thing can pay it all off.
Tool to do business. Kim? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, let's have that email conversation for a second, okay? I'll make you feel really bad about this, too. That's mom and dad's tool. Everybody I talk to of a certain age has a similar type of remark like that to email. It's not the Gen Y-ers communication tool of choice, and to a lot of respects, and a lot of folks, not the Gen X-ers tool of choice. But the question you have is, why is it germane? Hear success stories. What Mike was talking about clearly is one of those. Give you an example. Just 2 days ago, I had a colleague who asked me about web designers. Now, I know some folks, but nobody who did precisely what he wanted. So what did I do? I went to LinkedIn, and I put it out there. 47 web designers. I got in about 25 minutes. Recommendation. It was amazing. I was stunned. And, you know, I sort of on that fence, too, about is there really value spending all this time in cultivating those contacts? And if I had any doubt, that one put me over the edge. Because at that point, I said, wow, that's an amazingly powerful tool. Now, I've got to understand something. The marketing game has changed. You can't use new media tools with old marketing approaches. The hard sell's gone. It's about communication. It's about customization, collaboration. It's about connectivity. It's about engaging in the dialogue. It's not about, here's my cool property, ain't it neat? It's about finding out what people are saying about it and engaging in that conversation. And getting to the point where the next time they're thinking about going somewhere, that your property is at the top of their minds. Now, some people will disagree to some extent, saying, yeah, I can do some direct marketing there. And you can, but I always say, understand the generation of the people you're marketing towards. We have four generations of folks in the workplace right now. If I'm going to the folks older than the boomers, they want to be on the phone. If I'm marketing toward the boomers, how would I go? Probably email. Xers, you get into Facebook there. Even though that wasn't their tool, really, you know, when you think about it and the timeline we're about to see, that's a pretty new tool. And clearly, as we get to the folks just entering our business, it's really cool. You know, they don't know from a phone being a phone. They know a phone is a mobile connectivity device. So it's amazing that the problem isn't any one of these tools. The problem is learning them enough so we can understand how to communicate effectively among all the generations. Yep. Mm-hmm. On your iPod or your iPhone?
iPod.
Okay. I think the answer to the question of which device is best is completely personal. It's which one you're comfortable with. I probably wouldn't want it on my iPod. If I'm enjoying my tunes, I don't want anything else happening right there. And quite frankly, I don't even use it as a mobile approach as much as a lot of other people do. It all depends on the tool that you're using. Just be aware of it and use the one that works best for you. Well, the question is, most of your audience is management and probably, let's say, in the 50s and 60s range. Some of them might not even bother going to Twitter, or they go, yeah, I heard about it, it's supposed to be really bad for you, or something silly like that. You know, so you got to know your audience. You can't ram Twitter down somebody's throat who still doesn't know how to do email properly. You know, it's a tricky approach. And unfortunately, for a lot of boards, a lot of groups, you have different generations there, and you have to use all the tools. So let's focus on these tools. Matter of fact, how we got to this point is pretty clear. In the 80s, on communication, you had social networks. Matter of fact, one of the original social networks is still out there, and it's still really effective and effective in our industry. It was originally called Usenet, and it was a question and answer dialogue that people had to ask questions of other people, and people gave answers. And about 8-9 years ago, this small company called Google, heard of it? They bought it. They rebranded it, calling it Google Groups, groups.google.com. And just as a show of hands, how many people are involved in either the meetings community or the meetings industry forum? Just a few, but for those who are, worthwhile to be involved there. A lot of great dialogue, social dialogue, actually not even social networking, business networking dialogue. And you talk about getting opportunities for stuff. You can't do hard marketing there, but you certainly can engage in the conversation efficiently there. And in the 80s, that's what was happening. And you get to the 90s, and actually some people say, well, really the first big one was CompuServe and the chats and the instant messaging, and I'll buy that to some extent. But you had Classmates and Six Degrees, Classmates which keeps rebranding itself, but never caught on the way, well, clearly Facebook did. Six Degrees being more of a site for some social networking and some charitable work now, but had a good short life of about 3 or 4 years and tends to turn over. And then we get into this generation, and O2, Friendster. Any people on Friendster out there? Nobody? Didn't get in there. One person. Worthwhile?
For a while.
Are you on Facebook? Facebook better? I think a lot of people would say the same thing about that. And so, 03, now we're talking LinkedIn, 6 years old. Understand something. Don't feel bad, okay? Because back is like rubbing your face saying, boy, you're really out of touch. And it's not what it's saying. What it's showing is the absolute disconnect between when something is developed and when the application hits critical mass. And there's always a separation there. It's natural. We're not going to be the first to jump into the technology in this industry. We're going to wait for it to mature, see what shakes out, and then once we start hearing those buzzwords again and again, then we say, well, shoot, I got to find out about Twitter, and I got to find out about Linkster, and I got to find out about Facebook, because that's what my peers are using. But in 03, both LinkedIn and MySpace, now, as someone indicated, the 400-pound gorilla a short time ago was MySpace. Not anymore. They've sort of reinvented themselves more for people who want to post their music on there, and very effective as that. Now, Facebook, 2004. Also, Ning, and I want to give it a little bit of credit here as we're talking about this before we get into the big three. This is a site that actually allows you to create your own social network without any programming skills. And it's just being able to use sort of a cut and paste, but a very basic approach to developing a social network for your own niche. As an example, there's one here for new media hire, and a little bit in your face and this and that, but if we see what's there, it's groups, it's videos, it's forums, it allows you to add it to Facebook. It gives you all the stuff that really combines the different social networking tools. Think what Pathable has done for the MPI conference. So a solution that's out there that allows you to really integrate it and design it. Give your IT folks something to do next week, okay? Instead of playing solitaire all day. Say, if you checked out Ning, and they'll probably say, oh, yeah, I know it. Say, why don't you create something like that for our industry and see what you come up with? Mike?
What's that do that Facebook doesn't do?
Well, what it does is it essentially creates a community that is for a particular focus. So for an organization or for a group of people. So what they're doing it for is creating it just specific for the meetings industry or just specific for, in this case, new media folks. Facebook, clearly, very broad-based because when you have friends of all different areas and in all different professions laying around in there. Twitter, 3 years old, 2006. Matter of fact, about a year ago, I didn't think Twitter was going to be the one that actually made the jump to the best in breed. There was a service called Pounce for a number of years that got a lot of play. Pounce actually folded, I think, late in 2008. Its hook was that not only could you send a quick note, but you can actually attach a file. And for a while, a lot of the people I was talking to were into Pounce, but didn't win the game. Clearly, it's changed quickly. So let's take a look at them. We'll call the rest of the session the big three. We'll start with Facebook. While I'm having this conversation, if either of you at the computer have a Facebook account, time to log in now. If neither of you have a Facebook account, we'll take care of that. Because we do want you to set one up if you so choose. We'll talk LinkedIn, and then we'll talk Twitter. And Twitter, and Twitter, and Twitter. By the way, if you go at some point to Wikipedia, which, by the way, is, other than Google, my absolute go-to website for almost anything, and you put in there list of social networking websites, you'll see a nice, small, partial list of the social networking sites that are out there. So what we're really doing is touching on what's there, but we are hitting, as we've said, sort of best of breed. We're hitting the ones that really have gotten prominence and a huge number of people in there. So, here we go. Facebook. How many of you do not have a Facebook account? Okay. If you don't have a Facebook account and you choose to right now, what you want to do is set one up. And it's pretty straightforward. Username, password. And what you're going to look like is something sort of similar to this. Now, what a lot of people say, and I have no problem sharing my Facebook site, and hopefully people haven't posted weird pictures, which, by the way, you got to think about this. We're not even going to talk about the number of people looking for jobs in this economy. I know it's a lot. But did you know that HR offices are using Facebook profiles as one of the first places to vet candidates? Oh, as well as colleges. Absolutely true. So if your son or daughter has that prom night picture that shouldn't be on there, we'll actually talk to you a bit while we talk Facebook about the settings that are there so you know how to make sure that people don't have access. Also, you do have issues. It's sort of a guilt by association issue. More true with Facebook than it is with LinkedIn, but where somebody else might post a picture of you. So it might not be on your Facebook page, but because your name is tagged on it, guess what? If people do a search, it may come up. Question. Something wrong with the computer. I won't ask what you did, because probably the answer is nothing. Okay, you don't have an internet connection. Okay, hit an exception right down there. and then add exception. And then that's fine. Should be fine. Get certificate. Yep. Cool. Confirm. Resend. And that should get you there. Cool. So the question here is this. Why Facebook? What are you using Facebook for? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. Is it okay to ignore a friend request on Facebook? Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. When you die, it's not the number of Facebook friends wins, okay? Be clear on that. But you also want to look at it from two perspectives, which is, do I always want to be really, really particular? Because isn't the game about networking? And it's sort of two-sided on that. Yeah. Absolutely. Now we start getting into more of the elements of how to make Facebook work. The comment was creating groups. And we got to understand that we have lots of settings that we can play with while in Facebook. A few we want to talk about right here. The first one we want to talk about is the event. Now, you can only have a single Facebook page per email address. So you can't create an event with or another Facebook page for your event. What you can do is tied to your page, create an event. Now, different ways that you can do that, but from applications, there's a little more button, and there are events. Now, before I click that, let me just show you MPI Meet Different. Now, how many people here knew that MPI had a Facebook page for this conference? Got about a quarter of the room at tops. Well, the question you might ask is, well, why? What's the value here? And the value is marketing, it's exposure, it's communication. Again, remember, everything you can do here, posting videos, comments, real-time conversations, the wall, why email is going to be obsolete is because every one of these tools has direct communication channels. On Facebook, it's going wall-to-wall, where you can have a dialogue with one person, you know, as opposed to a one-to-many dialogue, which is just what your status update is. Now, if you're having a meeting, why not have a Facebook event page for your meeting? And it's not just contained to the meeting. It could be a magazine. Elite Meetings puts together this page. And again, the idea is to get people to join and become friends of the group. Most of these types of group tend to be open, although you can close it. You can make it an invitation-only or a RSVP-based group. And again, the idea would be to get people to communicate. As we move on further, I always like this one, what Renaissance had done, because it really defines in both ways what is stupid and what is really smart about this approach. They created this cocktail mixer. Now, if you're not into the Facebook approach, you give people gifts, virtual gifts. And I saw this about 6 months ago, and I started scratching my head until I realized how genius it was. Because now every time that this goes out, Renaissance gets his name out there. And what did it cost to create that? Zippo. So we're creating pages like that that actually expand the marketing opportunities. Now, you could be really, really selfish and do things like promote your own band with that. That's my band, by the way. But why not? Facebook page for all that stuff that we can do. But let's get back to business. That actually is a fan page as opposed to an event. Fans of. What you're looking for here are settings around here. Let's go to events. And if you want to create an event, the link at the top of that page says create an event. By the way, all of my events get listed here. I can click create an event, and in about 5 minutes or less, depending on how fast I type, the event's created. If you want to create a fan page a little bit different, if you go to your home page in Facebook, and then you go to the very bottom and find advertising, hidden, hated it, took me 6 months to figure this thing out, And understand that what you don't want to do necessarily is create an ad. You can. Now think about marketing that way. You could have those sort of, you know, in Google you have the pay-per-click ads on the left side of the page. Well, what about an ad promoting whatever service you have in the Facebook community? Couldn't tell you what the cost is. I understand it's very reasonably priced. Haven't done it. Has anybody in here created a Facebook ad? Value, yes or no?
Not for me.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet.
Interesting to do it? Yeah, indeed it is. But what you might say is that if you have a more dedicated audience, especially if you've developed a lot of friends who are people in your industry, in your association, you could say it's a more targeted audience, arguable on that point. So, clearly either way.
But,
please do.
Mm-hmm.
One person, now the question that came up here was cost. Would you share what the ad cost you?
Yeah, you actually bid, and you then compete with other people as you bid. I bet it was 25 cents a click, and I wasn't getting many proposals.
Yep.
I mean, somebody bidding a lot of money to marry women.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to move on from this dialogue because we have so much to cover. It's a PPC approach, pay-per-click, in a similar way that Google is. So there's no set cost on there. By the way, when you go here, the about advertising, these ads here, you don't want to do. But if you go to pages over here, then you can create a Facebook fan page from here. And I know there is no link on Facebook that gets you right there directly from the homepage, but that's how to do it. So with Facebook, if you haven't gotten there, you might go, well, how do you get invited? And the whole idea is to be able to have friend suggestions. So you can invite friends. Right now, just so you see, I'm at the top of the screen on the Friends tab. I can see who my friends are. I can go to invite friends, and I can send an invitation. But again, we talked earlier about social bookmarking, right? And how I'm able to find what somebody else thinks is cool and perhaps learn from it. Well, oftentimes what you do is you find your friends, and what people do all the time is see who their friends are and then engage them in becoming a friend as well. Now, the question of whether you accept all friends or not is the ongoing one. Show of hands. How many people really don't scrutinize? Any friend request they get, they accept it. Just a handful. Okay. And a handful of people who probably are fairly into the model. How many people scrutinize a little bit, but essentially accept all the Facebook friend requests they get? Okay. And how many people are very, very careful about whom they invite in? Wow. I'm kind of surprised, and it's interesting information, that that is the dominant amount. Yeah.
Well, I would say, like, this is for my personal Facebook page. Yes, I'm very careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's another approach, and a lot of people seem to have that approach, which is sort of the split personality, that they use Facebook purely as their social site, and they use LinkedIn for their professional. It does get to your issue, which is, at what point is it too many? Now, Jordan, I know you had put your hand up in terms of letting everyone in. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry? You can always, yep. Right. Correct. which you can do in LinkedIn, which you can do in Twitter. So you do have that power to say, friend no more. Okay. Other emotional work issues that get involved there. Yeah, back in the corner. Shh. Yep. By the way, you have, and the one last thing I want to talk about regarding Facebook is you have these settings here that most people don't realize they can adapt and modify in terms of your basic account settings, your privacy settings, news feeds and wall, applications, search. So if you are concerned, and I'm not saying it's frivolous to be concerned or not, but if you are, you do have the ability to sort of almost pick and choose or at least be much more restrictive. What I am going to suggest is the value of these tools is more of an open approach. And I will dare to say, and you can debate this point for as long as we want, that it is a very generational approach to this. That the people in the younger generations tend to be much more open and they want to be friends with everyone and they're not afraid of the circumstances. And in an older generation, because people got burned with viruses and email problems 20 years ago, they sort of have a more hesitant approach. Not going to go right or wrong there, but just the way it is. Yeah. Interesting. Now, what about the boomers? They're getting there, though. I got to tell you. The boomers found the hook on Facebook. The hook is connecting with people from college and high school that they haven't seen. They want to see how much weight they gained in 30 or 40 years. It's a beautiful approach. I think that's a fantastic point. These are all networking and relationship enhancers. The more you use it, the more you're going to find little things out that is going to help that connection more. And as great as the face-to-face meetings are, and I'm a huge believer that the experience needs to be blended, that it's not just about the digital, it's about everything, but the more you can use these tools to be able to enhance and keep that network going, the more effective you're going to find these tools to be. Now, we need to move on just because we have so little time in this long conversation, but since we've talked about Facebook, let's get to LinkedIn. Go for it. The gifts on Facebook you can give to people. You go to your homepage. There are friend requests and suggestions, and you can give gifts and stuff to other people. Things, you know, join a cause, the drink that you saw from Renaissance, all that's accessible through the applications that are here. And by the way, there's some seriously cool applications, the gifts being right here. Now, one thing you'll notice, since we brought this up, when you go to one of these applications, at some point you're going to get that serious warning message saying, here's this application, it's going to give this company access to all your information, your firstborn male child, everything about you, you know, yada, yada, yada. Do you really want to do this? And it makes a lot of people hesitate to press that button. If you have issues, and they're reasonable to have them, why don't you do a Google search on that application and put a word like spyware in there and see what's going to come up and spend a few minutes reading the blogs and reading the postings to see if people think they're legit. Or ask your friends. I have this. I'm not sure whether to give it, which ones are good. You have the community there. You might as well use it to learn about it. FYI. Oh, you can get lots of applications. I don't know any one in particular, but just Google Facebook applications and the floodgates open. My fave, and again, I'm a musician, iConcert Calendar, which takes all my iPod stuff and tells me when they're in concert in my area and when they're releasing a new CD, and then it's stuff you can share with other people. Hooked, seriously hooked, just awful. Well, you go to the application, you'll find it, you'll be invited into it by a friend, which is normally how that comes up, is people get it and they send it out to their friends, and then you click through and follow it. There are apps that are here, and the gifts, and the marketplace actually is where you need to go, where a lot of them tend to live. A lot of times you're going to stumble upon it because someone shared it with you. And again, that's the cool thing about all these Web 2.0 tools. It's about social sharing. And I do got to get into LinkedIn, so we're moving there. Now, we're not going to even spend that much time here, but LinkedIn is sort of, as somebody once told me, the grown-up's version of Facebook. And I sort of laughed, and I go, well, okay, I'll sort of buy it, because it's not really used as a social networking. It's much more used as a professional networking. The question I hear from people who don't have a LinkedIn account, www.linkedin.com, is, where's the value? Is, you know, I get all these connections, I don't know whether to accept them all or not, and now what? So the question is, now what? What do people in this room do with LinkedIn that takes it from just a sort of a dormant networking tool to something that generates information, connectivity, business? Any people want to share? Nope. Yep. Absolutely. Groups. Number one, join groups. Now, some groups are invitation only. Some groups need the approval of the person who generated the group. But it's one of the best ways to, again, maintain the conversation and be involved. Now, you're going to start seeing that, well, I join groups here, and I join groups here, and I join groups there. Where does it stop? You're going to ultimately have to choose which of these or which ones of these is the most efficient for you. But where you are right now, I would say the approach is play with them all and see what actually generates business or generates interest or connectivity. Which ones do the things you want them to do? So number one on the Facebook approach, joining groups. To me, number two would be job search for a lot of people. Now, on the jobs link, finding a job using your LinkedIn network, keywords, again, location, search, find out about it that way. Asking questions, getting answers. Great, great approach. That's I talked earlier about questioning, finding a Web 2.0 designer. And I got tons of stuff that's out there. And here are the questions and the questions from the network, so you can actually, again, a lot of these tools give you the opportunity to learn more and more. By the way, as we're playing here, if you want to generate the LinkedIn account or befriend me or somebody else, go for it. No questions asked about that. Now, while we're talking about all that, what we really want to also make sure is clear is that you lay out your homepage in a way that works for you. So, for example, what I have set up here, I find out about my updates, which all the center stuff is pretty standard, but there are these applications that are here, and one that I find really cool is an application that allows me to read the blogs of all the people who are in my network. And it has the blogs from my contacts, which I can then read, and it has my blogs as well. So I'm able to have that. I have information on events, company buzz, where I can find out where the organization I work for or another organization is already in the news, stuff about where I work, colleagues who've just joined. I have not yet used it, so I hear the application's pretty good. Has anybody in here used the PowerPoint app? By the way, when you get here, all the applications from your left side menu, where it says applications, you have these featured apps that are here, and one of them is the SlideShare presentation. I know a lot of people who've used that, and it really is pretty sweet. And again, there's... And understand what you want to do is check out the pages of the people you friended, because in this market, if you're looking for work or if you're a consultant or people are checking on you, you want to make sure that the information is not only accurate but shows you the best way possible. And all that is quite doable straight through this service. Now, LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, the question is sort of one that is so up in the air. I think LinkedIn has more direct value in our industry right now than Facebook, but I'm not so sure I'm going to feel that way in 6 months because of how Facebook really is developing a lot of applications for it, and the buzz on Facebook has gotten so enormous over the past couple of months. It is different. Mm-hmm. But then again, I talked to one of my geek friends about teaching Facebook. He goes, oh, geez, that's so 2007. I go, man, you make me feel old. I go, so what's 2008? He said, Twitter. I said, what's 2009? He goes, I don't know. My guess on what's 2009 are mashups. Mashups, so let's define it very quickly. A mashup is a service that combines different services. What Pathable essentially is a mashup. It's taking existing stuff and customizing for your specific needs. Question over here, yeah. Was he successful? Did he? Yeah, probably was. It is tough restricting, but if you create maybe a group page and you restrict the group, or then you might have better approach that way. Create a group on dancing, and then you can be the moderator of that. All sorts of tools that make that work. Question here, then question back there. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, tons of headhunters. Again, if you think Facebook's a place that that your HR folks go, absolutely, they're checking out these profiles. First thing they're doing, before you ever get or don't get the call back, they're on there. Make sure your page is clean, it's accurate, it reflects you. It, as the keynote said this morning, that personal branding, it's a statement that you can make. Question... I don't sleep. It's easy. I just a reasonable question to ask, how much time does it take? I know some people who spend a couple minutes a week and that's it. From my perspective, I'm probably on these sites every day. Depends on what I'm doing. Jordan, you had a phrase earlier and I want you to repeat it because it hit home. If he hasn't copywritten that one, I will. Continual peripheral awareness. I can't even say it. But it's a great thought when you think about it, that you're not always in it, but you're always aware of what's going on, and you can jump into that conversation at any point. The idea isn't to be there all the time. And you know the folks, especially in a minute as we get to Twitter, who are always tweeting. And that's the verb to tweet, by the way. You know that those folks are probably on there a lot, and the question always comes up, well, how are they getting work done? Well, they're getting work done because that's part of what they're doing. Now, it is, as I said in the stories actually early on, talked about it, that there are a lot of those connectivities on LinkedIn that just generate the business. But you have to be out there to be part of that game. There are a couple, and I'm glad you mentioned, a couple of great blogs that are out there. And if you want to learn more about Facebook and about LinkedIn, the first place I would actually go is in those blogs. In fact, the hottest on right now on Facebook is called allfacebook.com. That has some great, great information. The LinkedIn blog that I'm most familiar with is one called I'mOnLinkedInNowWhat.com, and that indeed is the name of it. But there are people who are literally professionals, much, much more so than I am, about using these tools and share their and other experiences about how to use them. It does get back to the question of then how many hours are you using and spending using these tools. And I think you have to understand there's going to be an initial outlay of time. Because if you don't spend some time there, you're not going to get comfortable enough to know what it can do. And so there's going to be some reading, there's going to be some information sharing from people, asking questions. You're going to need to make that decision at some point when, and I couldn't even give you an hour, but let me poll the room right now. Okay, either Facebook or LinkedIn, how many people spend an hour or less a week? Very few, about 6 or 7. How many people spend between 1 and 5 hours a week? Okay, good part of the room. 5 to 10 hours a week. Fewer. More than 10 hours a week. Handful. I think that skew there is 1 to 5 being the peak, but 1 to 10 probably being a reasonable approach. That's the sense of this room. As unscientific as that poll was, at least it gets some basic information. Realize the more you know about it, the more you can use it. Jordan? Yeah. Yep. He should. We're going to talk a little bit about RSS too, because we have to talk about that distribution model, and it gives us a good opportunity to not only get to Twitter, but to get and take a look at this icon right here. Because that icon right here is a way that you're going to be able to manage a ton of information, and goodness knows, I've spent sessions at this meeting in the past just talking about RSS. But the 30-second approach. RSS stands for really, and that is the first word, simple syndication. I tend to, in my own limited mind, rephrase it to actually be really simple subscription, because it makes it easier for me to understand what it's all about. It's an online subscription service. It's how I can get information from various websites and cull it into a single page. The number of these RSS feeds out there probably are 250 million, because every single news site and blog site has them, as well as many professional sites, including MPI. We'll talk about subscribing in a second, but it's sort of a jump-off point because Twitter is the page that also a page that does have RSS functionality. So, twitter.com is where you go. The question of why comes up and what it is. It's a microblog, so we know technically what it is. It's the status feed from Facebook, and that alone gives a lot of people a better understanding. The limitation of Twitter is this, 140 characters. And it essentially, although it's not done purely that way, is to answer a question, which is, what are you doing right now? Which means the tweets that come out can range from very social to very business. And in fact, like Facebook, like LinkedIn, you communicate by having friends, or in this case, following and followers. So if I wanted to find somebody who I thought was on Twitter, I would go to the following navigation, and I can click on add, and I can find them on Twitter, or I can find them in other places, put their name in there or a username, and then ask to follow them, and they would hopefully in turn follow you as well. So, why? Well, at first I asked that question too. It's like, geez, I don't need people to know that I'm at Starbucks. Although I did find out that Jordan was at the bar last night, about 10:30 when I got his tweet, and I almost came down. But, you know, it's being used by a lot of businesses as a way to keep a high level of customer service. JetBlue has been known to follow all the tweets about them. And, in fact, if you're in one of their airports and you tweet and there's a problem, one of their CS people or customer service people will get back to you right away because they're following what's happening and that dialogue that's going on. If you really want to get a cool approach to how it's being used from a business standpoint, check out the website of Zappos, the shoemaker. Okay, the CEO of Zappos gets it. And if you take a look at their site, he actually has a page that is public page, but communicates to all his employees the importance and the value of Twitter and why he feels that everybody in the company should be on there. More and more, yeah, question, comment. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Now, again, if we took the initial premise that marketing is not about in-your-face marketing anymore, but creating relationship and conversation, then it's a way to add to that conversation. Now, when we started the session, we talked about this back-channel conversation. We saw that there was a conversation going on about Meet Different that was different from what just would come into a basic Twitter account. Let's talk about that and the setup of that for a few minutes, because it's really important if you're going to use this, especially in an event environment. The concept you have to understand is something called a hashtag. Hash, make up your own decision about what that means, tag. And it actually uses the pound sign. It's an old tech acronym, actually. And when you create a tag like that, you are actually creating a new channel, a new group, through which people can communicate. So at this conference, the folks at MPI created a hashtag with Meet Different. And by the way, since we started the session, 73 tweets came in. Now, if you start following that, and by the way, if you want to follow a tag, since we're here, let me talk about this first. If you want to follow the dialogue of what's going on, you have a couple of approaches. You can go to search.twitter.com, and then in the search box, type in the tag, followed by whatever the tag is for the event. In this case, they created Meet Different. And what you'll see here is the tagging and everything that comes up. Now, how does Twitter know what's being talked about at Meet Different? Because in your tweet, in your post, somewhere in the post, you actually use the hashtag and the name of the event or the name of whatever the group is. And just by using that, it automatically threads it so that the conversation can be seen separately. There was a story a few years ago, I don't think it's apocryphal, but I think it was about one of the Facebook CEOs who was speaking at a conference and somehow just bombed. And the folks, the geeks in the room, were Twittering about how awful he was. And that after the talk was over, any questions, somebody raised their hand, oh, you sucked. And by the way, the whole room thinks you stunk too. And he was taken back by it, and he said, how dare you say that? And the guy said, well, we've been talking about you for the past half hour. Wow. Yeah. Now, that's just cruel. At the opening session this morning, if you had Twitter application on your phone, and indeed mobile is there with that, you could be following what people were talking about. And it's being done constantly. And it's a pretty cool thing when you think about it, because it allows for a dialogue. Think about this at your event. At your event, you actually have a dual screen set up, and in the general session, you have the information on the session on one screen, and on the other, you're actually having people follow the ongoing conversation. Now, you might say, too much information, could be right, but just throwing out there as a hypothetical about how you can then integrate that. Because remember, you do want to see that information. You want to be able to be part of that conversation. Because that's a conversation about your event. In the same way, you want to know what's being said about you in the blogs and what's being said about you in the other forums out there. You certainly want to know, good and bad, what's actually being said. So the hashtag becomes a very, very critical thing. Now, something to understand is that if you want to use this, you have to follow hashtags. And I do want to show this to you just so you're clear how to do it, because when I was starting out with all this, it took me ages to figure this out. What you do is you go to your Twitter homepage, and if you don't have one now, certainly by all means set it up. In the bottom right where it says following, there's a little box that says add. And from there, what you do is you go to find on Twitter. And once you click that, you're looking for hashtags and search. Now, I don't click the follow button because I'm already following it. but you'll have a follow button here. You click it. Automatically, hashtags follows you. So now you're eligible to be part of any of these threaded conversations. Now, next question is, how do I then follow the conversation? Well, we saw one way, which was through search Twitter. But let me show you two other ways. One other way would be through a separate client. What I've been using lately is something called TweetDeck. Anybody using this one? Like it? Yeah, I do too. Because what it allows me to do, although I'm not cool on the black and white design, my eyes are just going, I'm getting too old. Yeah, I know. Is you have the ability to separate your feeds into everyone you know and then searching for the different threads or tags that you have. So, for example, we created a tag, and if you want to test it out right now, you could hashtag MPIMD09. I'm going to suggest just if you're testing not hashtag me different because I don't want that getting into the noise of the conversation for the meeting. You want to play right now, though, send it, if you have the Twitter account, send something to hashtag MPIMD09, and we'll see it pop up right away. You have your hand up with a question? Do you have following?
Yes.
It should be down here.
Yeah.
Some.
Well,
you can go there, and you'll be able to find people.
I mean, I found hashtag different, but then getting to my settings for hashtags, I guess.
Yeah. I'll help you afterwards if you still have that problem. Now, another approach to this is to actually use RSS. You see, right here, we have the feed for Meet Different. And because, yeah, question. All I did is in my Twitter account, I sent a note, and somewhere in the body of that note, I put in hashtag MPIMD09. Could be at the very start, could be at the very end, could be in the middle. But as long as that's in there, that will not only go to all of your followers, but it will be part of the threaded conversation for the hashtag that we set up. Now notice we have, and everyone here is using Firefox, which I'm a huge believer in as opposed to Internet Explorer as a browser. And one of the coolest tools about Firefox is that in your address bar, it has the subscription, the RSS link. All I need to do is click that, and it'll ask how I want to subscribe. And I will choose Google in a second, or actually I won't, because I've already done it. But I have a choice of choosing any type of RSS reader that's out there. And oh, by the way, my RSS reader of choice is Google. This is iGoogle. And I subscribe and put it in my one of my pages. So I have now all the information that is here. And thank you. Somebody once did a testing. By the way, a couple things since we have this up here to note, the @ and the RT. The @ in Twitter means it's sort of a direct conversation. It's not a direct conversation. It's going out to the group, but it's focusing on you talking to one person. If you actually use the letter D, space, and the person's name, the conversation does go one-to-one in Twitter. And then you have RT, a retweet. And in the vernacular in Twitter, in the microblog world, it's an important concept because it means somebody not only is resending out what you sent, but is sort of endorsing it implicitly because they think it's a good idea. And the community keeps voting, the community keeps talking about what they want to talk about. So here I have the Meet Different live stream. I could go here. Taking a little while right now. I'm finding the TweetDeck to be a little more live with this. So, yeah, tech overload, got you real clear. Now, you see the power right there is during a session, the people can be connecting, or after the session, or getting ready for a reception or event tonight. You have such enormous power to be able to keep that conversation going. Is it tech overload? Sure it is. If you haven't been exposed to any of this, you're going to walk out of here saying, where in the world do I start first? That's a tough question to answer. But one of these probably hit a chord in you, saying, you know, that's a pretty cool service. What I'm going to suggest is this. is that if you haven't used any of these and you still have interest, if we haven't scared you off in the last 75 minutes, take the next couple of days while you're here when you get back and play a bit. Contact me, invite your friends, see how it works for you. Don't give up right away. Because the more you get involved and the more you see you can do, the more that you're going to actually get out of it. You know, the people who tell me, I don't get anything out of LinkedIn, and I'm going to just say something about this interview, the same exhibitors who I heard in my conferences for years who said, I don't get any business out of the exhibit. Well, you're not doing anything to engage. It's all about your being out there and driving that communication and being accessible. And you don't have to tweet every 15 seconds. You don't have to be on your Facebook page 40 times a day. But if you check it out periodically and you let it sit and play with it for a while, what you might find are a few things. Number one, you might find that the people who are out there really are gaining value from the service. Number two, you might find, as a number of you have intimated, a whole other level of connections that you have with people that you already knew because of, shall we say, the intimacy of an anonymous-type conversation process. You know, you're getting things about people that they might not have had the time to be able to tell you about. And because of the connectivity that's out there, you never know. You know, as a business tool, those business apps and those business opportunities are out there. The generation that's out there now gets this clearly. So you want to be able to communicate there, sort of get in this game or stick with email and see what happens. But if nothing else, play. You've got a great opportunity here on Tuesday to come back, to set up accounts, to figure stuff out. I'll be here all afternoon to make sure, if you have any questions, we answer them. So I hope, if nothing else, in a short amount of time, we covered some questions, we gave you some understanding of the concepts, and we gave you a comfort level about what this is about. I really thank you so much for being here. I'm going to be around to answer any questions. Have a great rest of the conference, gang.